and welcome to the program. We're living in an age when if I didn't know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I'd be very concerned when I turned on the news every day. However, these things were predicted 2,000 years ago. We'll look at it in a minute. Stay tuned. Into the scriptures, we find it very plain that Jesus said when it comes to the end of the age, there's going to be wars and violences, there are going to be drought and famines, earthquakes, natural catastrophes, diseases, religious activities with a lot of fake religious leaders, the worldwide preaching of the gospel, we've got that now with what we call the internet. And when these things all begin to happen together, he said, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. He also said that we'd be on the glide path to the great tribulation and battles and wars like this world has never seen before. We're going to be looking at this some more, but what we need to realize is the Bible stands. Come what may, the Bible is filled with the truth, the only place you're going to find truth. Today, genuine, 100% truth is the Word of God.
The Bible stands like a rock, undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with the light sublime. The Bible stands like a mountain towering far above the works of men. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroy it they never can. The Bible stands over hills, may tumble, it will firmly stand. When the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands, and it will forever, when the world has passed away. By inspiration it has been given, all its precepts I will obey. The Bible stands every test, we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone, I expect to live it, and to prove it and make it mine. The Bible stands over hills, may tumble, it will firmly stand. When the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. Yes, the Bible stands.
Well, that's a fact. The Bible stands. We've been looking in Matthew chapter 24, where the disciples asked Jesus, what will be the consummation of the age, or the end of this local church age? We've seen quite a few things. Today we pick it up in verse number 12, and he said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, we shouldn't just rhyme over that verse without some thought here about what it's really saying. He is saying iniquity shall abound, and the love of many shall wax cold. So here's the question. What is iniquity? What do you have to be doing to be guilty of iniquity? And we need to realize the reason that the love of many is waxing cold. He says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Why does that happen? The first time we find the word iniquity mentioned in the book of Matthew is back on the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is talking to his disciples as they begin this ministry. And in verse 15, he said, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." In the same chapter, verse 21 through 23, we read, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works?" What was his answer to that? Verse 23, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now remember, he said these false prophets are going to come to you. They're going to be a lot of religious deception, he said in Matthew chapter 24. And so the first mention, we see these false prophets coming unto you, he said. And the last time we have the word iniquity in the book of Matthew is Matthew 24 and verse 12. Again, it says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." And the reference here has to do with the religious world, not with the political world. We can call ourselves by many different names and act more fundamental than some other people, but we read way back in the book of Jeremiah, when he lived in an age of apostasy, speaking to God's people, he talked about their iniquity 39 times and thine iniquity another 14 times. And so what we have here is the influence of the infiltrators. The influence is the capacity to have an effect on the character development or behavior of someone or something. And so we see here the someone is individuals and the something is a local church. And we also see in our verse here that the influence of these infiltrators is that the love of many shall wax cold. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 33, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." Now, when it's talking about corrupting good manners, it's not saying, well, you won't say yes, please, and no, thank you anymore. It's saying manners has to do with how we do things. So we read in verse 13, "But he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved." Now, some people take that and say, see, you can lose your salvation. When you see this word saved, we need to look at it very carefully and see what the context has to do. For instance, in Numbers 10 and 9, "You shall be saved from your enemies." 2 Samuel 19:9, "Save us out of the hand of our enemies." 2 Samuel 22:4, "Be saved from mine enemies." Nehemiah 9:27, "They were saved out of the hand of their enemies." Psalm 18:3, "They were saved from their enemies." Psalm 44:7, "Thou hast saved us from our enemies." 1 Samuel 4:3, "Save us out of the hand of our enemies." 1 Samuel 7:8, "Save us out of the hand of the Philistines." 1 Chronicles 16:35, "Save us from the heathen." Psalm 106:47, "Save us from among the heathen." We have the story in Matthew chapter 14 of Peter when he was walking on the water, and we read in verse 30, "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me." That had nothing to do with the trusting of Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He wanted to be saved from drowning. Well, another sign that Jesus gave them in verse number 14 of Matthew 24, he says, "The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, then shall the end come." You're listening to this program that was done on sermonaudio.com. Once a month we get a detailed report from them. And in recent days, the Netherlands, United Kingdom, Canada, USA, Spain, Germany, Singapore, France, Nigeria, Japan, Australia, Brazil, Ireland, Vietnam, New Zealand, Egypt, Switzerland, Cambodia, China, Finland, Hong Kong, India, Italy, the Philippines, Honduras, Sweden, Angola, Ghana, Kenya, Mexico, Panama, Papua New Guinea, Romania, South Africa, Taiwan, the Ukraine, Zambia, Russia, Israel, Athens, Greece, and Guam have tuned in our program. Once again, 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, "The gospel shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, then shall the end come."
The Bible stands like a rock, undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with the light sublime. The Bible stands like a mountain towering far above the works of men. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroy it they never can. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands, and it will forever, when the world has passed away. By inspiration it has been given, all its precepts I will obey. The Bible stands every test we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone I expect to live it, and to prove it and make it mine. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet